Until now, we've been discussing the rules of Rov and Chazaka as they play out in terms of Sveikos, but primarily we've limited ourselves to Issa v'Heter. If Shalom is one of the Midas Kosher, Shalom one of the Mikvas Kosher, Shalom one of the Women's Muteres, all the different permutations as to how to deal with the Din of Issa v'Heter. And now we move on to another area of Halacha. We also have to come back and look at how we deal with Sveikos, and that's in the realm of Din Emominus. How does everything we've talked about for the last 2 months play out in terms of passing Shas and Dina Mominus? And a monetary issue, have a suffix. I'm not sure whether Reuven owes Shimon the money or not. So do we follow Rove? Do we follow Chazok? How do these rules play out? So Gemara presents in two places, in the third parak of Masechet Bava Kama and the sixth parak of Masechet Bava Basra, a machlekes in Rav and Shmuel, whether holchim b'momenacha harov, or ein holchim b'momenacha harov. I have some kind of a suffix in Dina Mominus. I don't know who owes who the money. And I want to invoke the principle of Rov in order to pass in the Shaila. So can I do so or not? What is the case? So the Gemara presents two different scenarios, but they really express the same principle. Both of them are questions in terms of Mekach or Memker. We're trying to figure out when Reuven sold Shimon an item, so we have some kind of a latest suffix now about the nature of that sale. So in one place, the Gemara discussed in the Kama about Reuven and Shimon agreed that Reuven's going to sell Shimon a chavis. And the chavis can mean one of two things. Either a chavis can mean a barrel, or a chavis can mean a pitcher. So the Gemara says that some places in the world used to use the word chavis to mean one thing, and other places would use the word chavis to mean something else. So Reuven and Shimon are not clear as to what they mean. They don't draw out a picture exactly what they want. They shake on a deal that I'm going to sell you a chavis. And then, so Shimon pays for a chavis. So he pays him $100 for a chavis. So what happens when Reuven comes to deliver the chavis? So he delivers to him a cad. He delivers to him a smaller pitcher rather than a big barrel. So now Shimon's screaming, "What do you mean? I paid you for a big barrel, and now you're giving me a small pitcher." So he says, "Well, what do you want from me? We agreed upon a chavis. So I'm giving you a chavis." So now they come to a din Torah. So we're trying to figure out who's right. Whether the person is entitled to get his money back, or whether the person can be just given this small pitcher and call it a day. So the Gemara says, L'charei should depend. It should depend on what do most people call it. You have to take a survey, have to take a poll, and see what do most people say. So Rav says, you go basero. So Rav says, you have to look around town and ask everybody. If 90% of the people call it chavis, and 90% of the people call it a kad, then you follow Rav. So here Rav says we have a latest or something. We don't know what to do. We're not sure what the facts of the case were. We don't know whether the person meant to sell a chavis, meant to sell a kad. So you go basarov. The same way you would go basarov, whether the meat is kosher, and go basarov whether the mikvah is kosher, and go basarov whether the woman's mutaris. So you just follow something rov, and that carries a day in the moments. So come Shmuel and says no. Come Shmuel and says the application of the principle of rov wouldn't make any sense over here. Because Kiyaz Lidin Basaruba bi Isura, when do we follow Rove? That's only in the realm of Isavantar. But the Mamanis, Hamotzi Mechavela Baraya. In Mamanis, says Shmuel, we have a different rule. The rule is that if I want to be Maitzi Maman from you, if I want to extract money from you, so I have to prove it. So over here, if the money was already paid, and now you want your money back. I'm demanding, give me my money back because it was a Mekach Tos. Give me my money back because I paid for a big one. You want to give me a cheap, small one. So Shmuel says, nothing to it. You can't get your money back. It's a suffix. The rove is your problem, right? Says Shmuel, that's irrelevant. Rove doesn't play a role in terms of the Nimamunus. In the Nimamunus, we follow a different set of rules. The guidelines for the Nimamunus are Hamotzim and Chaver all over high. Then the Gemara has a similar sugya. Beginning of the sixth parak of Bava Basra, if I sell you an ox, and it's understood that if I'm selling you an ox, sometimes if I sell you something and there's some kind of a mum, there's something wrong with the item that I'm selling you, so sometimes that's called a mekach tos, sometimes that invalidates the entire sale, and sometimes it doesn't. So it depends. It depends what the nature of the mum is. Let's say, for example, if I sell you a car, and the car is missing an engine, so that's a mekach tos. What am I going to do with a car without an engine? So of course the sale is bottled. But if I sell you a car and there's some small feature that's not working properly, I sell you a car and I don't know, depends, I guess, who you ask. The DVD part of the car isn't working properly. Depends, yes, but yes, so good, that would be better if the DVD is not working. Maybe some people would be very mocked with that, would say, I'm making a toast, the car doesn't work if the DVD player doesn't work. Maybe some other people in my family, some smaller members of my family would say that. So you have to, sometimes it's not so easy to figure out whether a blemish, whether a deficiency in the item constitutes a mekach tos or not. The Gemara says that sometimes it's the context of why I'm selling it to you. So let's say, for example, if I sell you an ox. I sell you an ox and it turns out that this ox is a wild ox. It's not a shugan ox. It's very hard to control this ox. It's a short nakhon. So is that considered to be a mekachtos and hatz? Because it depends. Depends why I'm buying the axe. If my intent is to buy the axe for meat, I want to shecht it. So my nafkamina, it's a crazy axe or not. I'm going to take it, bring it to the shecht. It's going to shecht it in a minute anyway. So who cares whether the axe is crazy or not. But if my intent is to buy the axe because I want to work with the axe, so how am I going to work with the axe? I'm going to put it out in the field to plow. The axe is going to be running around goring people. So it's not going to be practical. It's like selling a car without an engine. So sometimes it's hard to ascertain, was this a mekechtos? Was it not a mekechtos? So how would you know? How could you figure out? Reuven sells Shimon an axe. And they don't stipulate what the purpose of the sale is. So how do you know whether it's for the purpose of malacha or whether it's for the purpose of shechita, nafka min ladina? Is it going to be a mekechtos or not? So comes Rav and says the same story. You follow Rav. If most people in that town buy oxen for the purposes of work, so then we can assume that this guy also meant to buy for the purpose of work. And then he has a taina to the mocher and say, you sold me a mekechtos. You sell me a car without an engine. You sell me an unusable ox. Ox cannot be tamed, can't work with it. So I'm not getting what I paid for, so give me my money back. So according to Rav, we can assess what the person's intent was. The person most probably wants it for work, and therefore it's called a mekachtos, if it's not worthy for work. And Shmuel says, Mapito. Shmuel says, how is Rov gonna ascertain anything? You cannot use the principle of Rov to paskin a shayin on dinim amunis. So what do you paskin? Says Shmuel. You paid for the axe. You're already tough. You want to get your money back. You have to prove that you didn't buy it for a shechita. You have to prove that you bought a dafka for malacha. How are you going to prove that? If you can somehow prove that, then you get your money back. If not, hamotzi mechaveil of araya. So this is a running machlekes in the kavim of the last trip to Rav and Shmuel, whether holchim v'mamnach harov or ain holchim v'mamnach harov. We pass it in halacha like Shmuel because this is the imamnis. The Gemara tells us that Hilchos HaKarabi Yisurei Ushmuel B'Mamonei. As a general rule, there are a few exceptions in rule, but as a general rule, in Issa Vehet, we pass it like Rav, and in Dinei Mamonos, we follow Shmuel. So this is, of course, Dinei Mamonos. So we pass it in Halacha that Ein Hochem B'Mamon Acha Harov. But the real question is, why should this be so? Shmuel doesn't really formulate, at least explicitly, what the reason for his halacha. Shmuel just says, no. Kiyaz lina basa ruba b'yisura b'mamon alo. So Mahekah takes it. Why not? What happened to the pasuk b'chavir rab mahatas? Why can't we follow the regular rule of rov? We've used rov to be matir a woman, to be matir a mikvah, to be matir a piece of meat. Why can't we use a rov to pasuk in a shayla of dinim hominis? So there is a big machlekes acharonim how to understand conceptually what Shmuel is all about. So the Prima Godim suggests that Shmuel Shita is predicated on something that we spoke about last week. Remember, we spoke about last week a machlekes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. What do you do when you have a clash between a Rov and a Chazoka? If Rov is pointing in one direction, let's say Rov is pointing in the direction that something is mutter, it's most probably, there's 80% chance something is mutter, but the status quo was that it was also, it's been also for the last 10 years. So Rov is one principle min HaTorah, and Chazoka is another principle min HaTorah. What do you do when the two principles clash? It was machlekes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. So the Chachamim were of the opinion that Ruba v'Chazaka Ruba Adif, that Rov is greater than Chazaka. Why is that true? So we spoke about this in Shmaitz. Other reasons, one of the longest we spoke about in the past, why Rov beats out Chazaka. That's the Chacham Shita, that Rov beats out Chazaka. You can be makel on things, you ask it, whatever the Rov is, Rov always wins according to the Chachamim. And Rabbi Meir says no. Rabbi Meir says when you have a Ruba v'Chazaka, so it's not necessarily Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba Adif, but rather, we say the opposite principle. Smoch v'yuta l'chazaka, the Israel aruba. That whenever you have a rove, so there's always also a miut, means rove means there's an 80% chance that X is true. But there's a 20% chance that Y is true. So that 20% doesn't get swept under the rug. That 20% exists. If it's only a rove, if you have no other way to pass in the shayla, the only principle that you're working with is rove, then rove beats out chazaka. But if you have a chazaka, so then the chazaka takes that 20% and now combines with that 20% and is able to overpower to swallow up the rove. So that's where Rebbe Yeshiva smoke me for the chazaka of Isilei Ruba. That if I was drawing this on a blackboard, so I would say, we want to know, is this woman Muteras or Asura? The robe is in the column of being mutter, but in the column of being aser, there's a chazaka. And also in the column of being aser is a miut. So the miut and the chazaka together overtake the robe. That's where we make shita. Now, why one should or should not say that? So we spoke a little bit about that in the past. There's a robe, a bira, a hoga, a lot of alumnus as to what we're married and the chum are arguing about. But the tachlis, that's the machlekes. Tachlis in the end of Maseres Kedushin and the sixth parak of Chulin, this machlekes appears between Rabbi Meir and the chum, whether ruba the chazaka or ruba adif, or whether smach mitul chazaka. We mentioned last week in the name of Rabbi Netam that's coming up for Daf Yomi in Mechoros, beginning of the third parak of Mechoros. So, by the way, as a word from our sponsor, those who want Reishis Koch, the Sefer Mechoros is still in print and hopefully will be available this week. Last time, we sell Reishis Koch now every 7.5 years for Daf Yomi. That's the market the rest of the years, and it hasn't been too good. But this week I got a few requests for it. So comes Rabbi Netam quoted in the beginning of the third parak of Masechet Mechoros, and Rabbi Netam says that the Medrash Mamurim that we follow the Chachamim against Rabbi Meir, that's out of love of Geraisa. That means the Chama right min haTorah that Ruba v'Chazaka Ruba Adif. But mid the Rabbanon says Rabbi Netam, Rabbi Meir is right. Mid the Rabbanon the Chum at least, we're going to be machmir for Rabbi. We're going to be machmir for Rabbi Meir in the love of the Rabbanon. That was a raya from we spoke about this by the Cholov last week, right? By the milk with the Bechor whole story. Rabbi Netam develops a whole theory that on the love of the Rabbanon, everybody agrees in effect to Rabbi Meir that Ruba v'Chazaka doesn't really work. You can't be mad at things based on Rov if there's a Chazaka and it's staring you in the face. So comes the Prima Gadim and says that's what's going on in Shmuel Sheet as well. When Shmuel says that Ein Ocham Vamanach HaRov, so if you think about it, whenever you have a Rov and Mamanus, it's always against the Chazaka. What's the Chazaka? The Muksuk. The other person's holding on to the cash. The other person has the money, so he's Muksuk. He has a Chazaka. The status quo is that the money is in his pocket. You want to use Rov to uproot that Chazaka, so says the Prima Gadim, Minatar, you can do that. Because Minatar, we paskin that Ruv of the Chazaka, Ruv Adif. But with the Rabbanan, you can't do that. Because just as Rabbi Netam said in Suffolk and Bechiris, so you have to say Ruv v'Chazaka l'Abruv v'Adif, that Rov can't beat out a Chazaka because Chazaka always has the meal to last to hold on to. So too in every din of Mamonis, by definition, is a Ruv v'Chazaka Ruv v'Adif issue. So even though min haTorah Rov would win, min the Rabbanan Ruv v'Chazaka l'Abruv v'Adif. So comes to Prima Gadim and says the whole principle Ein Ocham Mamonach HaRov Hakol Mikol Kol is only min the Rabbanan. Means min haTorah it doesn't exist. Min haTorah the din is that Ruv v'Chazaka Ruv v'Adif Rav is right. Hakol Mamonach HaRov. The whole machlek is Hakol Mikol Rav and Shmuel is only on the level of the Rabbanan.
That's
what everybody else jumps in the Prima Gadim and says, wait a second. He said, that Rabbein Tam was talking about when you have a Shal of Issa Heter, so although Min HaTorah can be Mutter, but the Rabbanan, we're going to tell you have to be Machmir. Indeed, in Mominus, the principles of Kula and Chumra don't make any sense. What do you mean a Chumra? A Chumra means that it's basically Mutter, Min HaTorah, but we're going to be Machmir to make it also Min the Rabbanan. Indeed, in Mominus, it's a Chumra for Reuben, it's a Kula for Shimon, it's Gazela. Either it's Reuben's money or Shimon's money. What do you mean a Chumra? We're going to be Machmir, Indeed, in Mominus, to Paschal like Shimon against Reuben. Why is that a chumra? It's a chumra for Reuben, it's a kula for Shimon. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. That's what most of the Echvarim do not accept this Prima Gadim. This is a very, very difficult application of Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. So if you don't accept the Prima Gadim, so back to square one, it's easy to reject the Prima Gadim. But what is the Bira Dover? So Taka, why is it that you don't follow Rov when it comes to the Mamanis? What happened to the regular Ruvach, Rav Lahatos? So come other Acharonim and present it in the formulation of a Deraisa, that there is some kind of a Deraisa factor that's preventing us from following Rav. So different Acharonim have different presentations as to what that Deraisa factor is. So the Sheikh Shemaitza suggests that it's really very, very simple. So it's a Pasuk in Chumash. So it says in Chumash, Api Shnei Meidim Yachum Dover. What does that mean? The Torah says that Shnei Eidim is the highest possible way of passing a Shaila. There's no question. Let's say I would have a Shaila in Hilchos Mikvos. So the Rov points in one direction, but there are two Eidim who are testifying to the opposite. Well, I have a Shaila whether this woman is Muteris or Asura. I have a question whether this meat is Kosher Treif. So based on some fancy Rov and Sheikh Shmaitz says and Rov Disik about that, I came with some great razzle-dazzle Rov to be mouthed with this meat. But there are two Eidim screaming at me and saying, what do you mean? All the Rovs in the world, I'm telling you the facts. The facts are that the meat is Asura. So everybody agrees two Eidim works. Alpishnai made him Yachum Lover. You can kill people based on two Eidim. So of course you can ask for things based on two Eidim. Of course you can be Metzi Mammon based on two Eidim. So comes to Sheikh Shmaitz and says, from the fact that the Torah says in the parasha Dini Mammonis and parasha Shoftim, Apishnaim Eidim Yachum Dover, that you can't be Metzi Mammon without two Eidim. You can't be Metzi Mammon. You can't be Metzi Mammon based on Eidechon. So you can't be Metzi Mammon on anything short of two Eidim. So that's the Gzeres HaGosav. The Gzeres HaGosav is two Eidim and nothing else. So therefore Eidechon isn't good, and Rov isn't good, and Chazok isn't good. Nothing. Any other possible rule that you're going to come up with in terms of paskening shailas and chalotar kula is going to fail in the realm of dini mamonis. That's the gzeres hakosav. Pishnai made him yachum do. So comes the Pnei Yeshua in the beginning of the fifth parak of Maseches Gittin and says a similar idea to the Sheish Maitza in the sense that it is a din d'oraisa. Enoch v'om lacharov. It's not just a chumah midrabbanan like the Pirkei Avot said. It is a din d'oraisa, but the Pnei Yeshua says it's not a pishna abedi b'chum dava. That's not where it comes from. It's based on a whole different understanding. It's based on an entire sugi that appears in the beginning of the fifth parak of Bava Kama. The Pnei Yeshua is in the beginning of the fifth parak of Gittin. Sugi is in the fifth parak of Bava Kama. What's the Pnei Yeshua? Where's the Mokma? Where did the whole din of not following Rav come from? So it's based on a sugi that appears in the beginning of the fifth parak of Bava Kama. The Gemara throws out the following question. Minayin, how do you know that Hamotzi Mechaveir Olav Araya? Where does it come from? How do you know when you have a suffix in Halacha? There's no clue. There's no robe. There's nothing. Reuven and Shimon are coming and fighting and screaming. Reuven says, that shirt that you're wearing belongs to me. And Shimon says, it's my shirt. How does Beis know what to do? Minayin that Hamotzi Mechaveir Olav Araya. So the Gemara says, how do you know? It's a Pasuk Chumash. In Parshas Mishpatim, when Moshe Rabbeinu is about to go up to Har Sinai at the end of the Parsha, so he puts people in charge. He says, Aaron's going to be here, who's going to be here, the Canaan is going to be here. He tells Christ, don't worry, I'm going up for 40 days, but things, business as usual. You can have Dinei Torah, you can have Sfeikas, you know, people are going to get even the 40 days waiting for the Torah. Like people are going to have fights and mominess. So what do? Bibal Devar, Migash Aleihem. Anyone who has any problems so should speak to Aaron, to Chuz, and his Canaan, Bibal Devar. If you have any Shilas, Migash Aleihem, you should go and speak to them. The Gemara comments that phrase, Bibal Devarim, Yigash Aleim, the word Yigash is a double meaning. Yigash means to appear, means to come, to present. Yigash is also Meloshen Yagish, to bring forward. Says the Gemara, Yigash Aleim is a drasha teaching me Yagish Rai Aleim. What Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael is if you have any showers and dinim amaris, you want to go to a din Torah. That's okay, go to a din Torah and make sure to bring your proofs with you. Bibal Devarim, if you're a Bal Devarim, means you have a claim, you want to get something from somebody else. Yagish Aleim. You should go and bring your rayas to be motzi the moment. So the Gemara says, from here we derive the principle called Hamotzi Mechaveir Olav Araya. So the Gemara says, what, you need a pasuk for that? And if not for the Gzeres HaKosov, what would you have said? You would have said, there's no Dinei Hamotzi Mechaveir Olav Araya. Imagine what Dinei Mamonos would have looked like without the din of Hamotzi Mechaveir Olav Araya. I have a din Torah. I think the shirt you're wearing is mine. So I walk to the base and I say, he's wearing my shirt. And the guy who's wearing the shirt says, what do you mean? It's my shirt. So what's Beizin going to say? Imagine there's no Pasuk of Pashat Mishpatim. So Beizin's going to say, oh, it must be that we should give him the shirt. Give him the shirt. Like, it sort of says that. Says the Gemara gives a mashal. The Gemara says that if something bothers you, go to the doctor. The doctor's not going to come to you. The doctor's not going to make a house call. The Gemara says, if something bothers you, so you go do something about it. You want to get the guy's shirt, so do something about it. Prove it. What do you mean? Make a taste. You're going to walk into Beis and say, that's my shirt. So Beis is going to say, okay, Avrami, take the shirt off and give it to Rabbi Sablowski. Make a taste. Why should that be? Says the Gemara, it's a svar pshuta. Of course that's how Dinei Mamonos work. How would anybody think that anything otherwise? Like in American law, I think there's some kind of a principle called possession is 9/10 of the law. So Gemara and Halakha, 10/10 of the law. Well, what do you have to be anything else? Of course you follow wherever the person's holding on, but of course he's the Bailim. So comes the Gemara and says, you're right, that you don't really need the Pasuk to teach me Hamotzi Mechaveir Olav Araya. Anybody can figure it out based on common sense. So what's the Pasuk Bibal Dvar Migash Aleihem all about? So the Gemara says, another drasha, whole razzle dazzle drasha, Avdinim Masechah Sanhedrin, what you learn out from that Pasuk. So if you just read the Gemara in the fifth parak of Bava Kama, you'd walk away with the conclusion that the din of Hamotzi Mechaveir Olav Araya is a Pasuk Svara. You don't need a Mok, you don't need a Pasuk, you don't need a drasha. Any Tom, Dick, and Eric can figure out there's a din called Hamotzi Mechaveir Olav Araya. Yet Rashi, in the beginning of Maseches Gittin, when the Gemara uses the phrase of Hamotzi Mechaveir Olav Araya, Rashi has a startling statement. Rashi writes, how do you know that there's a din of Hamotzi Mechaveir Araya? Says Rashi, Tichsiv, Bibal Dvar, Migash Aleim, Kedisim, Baba Kama, the beginning of the fifth verse. So the Achronim asked, wait a second, the Gemara rejected that. At one early stage in the Sugya, the Gemara thought there was such a din, such a pasuk, that was necessary to teach us the din of Hamotzi Mechaveir Olav Araya. But that fell by the wayside. The Gemara rejected that. Why did Rashi revive that? Why did Rashi bring that back to life? That drasha of Yibal Dvar Migash Aleihem, if the Gemara itself rejected it. So it comes up in Yeshua and says, if you look carefully at the Gemara, you'll notice that the Gemara didn't reject it outright. What the Gemara meant is as follows. There is a machloikis amoraim between Rav and Shmuel about Ein Hochem Maman Acharov, which appears in that sugya in the fifth parakah of Kama, which is the source of the whole problem. Comes up in Yeshua and says, if you look carefully, what comes out is as follows. That whether or not we need a pasuk to teach me Hamotzi Mechaveir Olav Araya is ultimately a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. What does that mean? So says the Bnei Yeshua, there are fundamentally two different ways to view the principle of Motzei Mechamel Haraya. Everybody knows as a din, Motzei Mechamel Haraya. But how do you understand it? What's the nature of this halacha? So says the Bnei Yeshua, it could either be just a Pashat Svara. A Motzei Mechamel Haraya just means, how can you do anything if you don't know to the contrary? You have to just let things be the way they are. It's Pashat Svara. You don't need a Pashat Svara. It's Russia. Anybody can figure it out. It's a Pashat, a simple Svara called a Motzei Mechamel Haraya. If that's the case, and a Motzei Mechamel Haraya is just a Pashat Svara, so then Rove should work to overcome it. Because what does a Motzei Mechamel Haraya mean? It means, if you don't know, so then don't do anything about it. How can you take away a guy's money if you don't know? What if I don't know? Have a Rove. Rove works in mikvos and eshes ish and in nida and kashas. Rove is a good way of being mevaris makis. So it's not that I don't know anymore. So if all a Motzei Mechamel Haraya is just a statement of a default, you don't know. You don't know what to do. So then leave things the way they are. But I have a Rove. So Rove should be good to be Motzei Mamon, which is exactly what Rav says. Rav holds that Rove can be Motzei Mamon, because Rav's understanding of a Motzei Mechamel Haraya was nothing more than just a portion of Svar. The Svar was, Shevel to us, don't do anything. How can you act if you don't know? So according to Rav, that Motzei Mechamel Haraya is a nothing. It's just a portion of Svar, Shevel to us, Odif. When you have a Rove, that is a sufficient Svar to be Motzei Mamon. Rove will work to be Motzei Mamon according to Rav. Shmuel was mechadish to us a whole new ballgame. Shmuel was mechadish to us that a Motzei Mechamel Haraya is not just a Poshet Svara. It's not just simple logic. There's more to it than that. It's a gezeiros hakosuf. There's a pasuk that teaches us a Motzei Mechamel Haraya. What is the pasuk teaching me? So the pasuk is teaching me Hamotzei Mechamel Alav Haraya with a Hei Ayidiyah. That the only way to be Motzei Mamon is you need a Raya. What kind of a Raya? The best possible Raya available in Kol Tar Kula. What's the best possible Raya that no one can ever question? Two Edim. Comes the Gezeres HaKosav, Yibal Dvar Migash Aleihem, according to Shmuel, and teaches us that a Motzei Mechamel Haraya is much more than you thought it was. You thought it was just by default, just a Pashat Svara. No, it's more than that. It's a Gezeres HaKosav. And what is the Gezeres HaKosav? The Gezeres HaKosav is that it has to be the best possible Raya available, which translates to mean Shnei Edim. It comes out, according to the Pnei Yeshua, when the Gemara rejects the Pasuk as the source for Motzei Mechamel Haraya, that was Rav rejecting the Pasuk. But Lamaskana, Lamaskana, when all the dust settles, the way we paskin in Halacha like Shmuel, that Motzei Mechamel Haraya is so powerful that it overcomes even Rav, that's not a Svara, that's a Pasuk, that's a Gzeres HaKosav, that's why Rashi was explaining Halacha, Rashi in Maseches Gittin was writing Halacha that we follow Shmuel, for us, you can't just hide behind the svar and say Motzei Mechamel Haraya is a pashut svar. It's more than that; it's a gzeres hakosav. So, at the end of the day, both the Shem Shmaitz and the Pnei Yeshua had to find the pasuk. Teach me Hamotzei Mechamel Haraya. According to the Pnei Yeshua, it was Nibal Dvar Migash Aleihem. It's the pasuk that the Gemara seemed to reject, but ultimately comes back to life. That's the mochor for Ein Hochel Mamonach Arov. Whereas, according to the Shem Shmaitz, forget that mochor. The mochor is a Pishnai Medim Yochem Dover. Just the mere fact that the Torah requires to weigh them, the implication is short of to weigh them is no good. So, at the end of the day, we have three opinions in the Kedali Acharonim. What's the source for this halacha? Where did it come from? The Rav doesn't hold from it. Shmuel accepts it, but the Gemara never explains where it comes from. So the Primogodim said it can't be Minatar. Minatar doesn't make any sense. Minatar, the din is, everyone agrees you follow Rav. It's only a chumr midrabban, which is again very hard to understand what's the chumr exactly. But the other achron, more what we consider usually conventional wisdom, when we learn the sugyas of Enochem Amacharov, so it's usually assumed that it is a din deraisa. We're not exactly sure what the mocker is. Either the mocker is a pishnai made him yachom dover, what the mocker is based on mibal dvar migash aleihem. There's some kind of a mocker, some kind of a posse, some kind of a din deraisa that teaches us the principle of Enochem Amacharov. This principle of Ein Hochel Mamonach Harov, it sounds like, especially with the Raisa, it sounds like it's very far-reaching. That's all-encompassing. Every Shana Dini Mamonis is going to come up. We're going to say, we're not going to follow Rov, we're going to ignore Rov, we're only going to follow one thing called Moksa. So here already the Rishonim point out that there seems to be a very big problem with the statement that Ein Hochel Mamonach Harov, we're just going to look at Rov and ignore it. So Tosfos, in the beginning of Maseches Sanhedrin, already makes the observation that there is a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin that doesn't seem to say this. The Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin seems to say that not only in Dinei Mamonos do you follow Rov, but even in Dinei Nefashos you follow Rov. That you can actually kill somebody. So we have a suffix, whether the person is Chayav Nisana, we're going to invoke the principle of Rov to put the person to death. So comes Tosfos and says, You're going to kill somebody based on Rove. You're not going to take away his money based on Rove. It's a double portion. If you can follow Rove, indeed in the Fashos, how can you turn around with a straight face and say that Ein Ocham Mamunach HaRove? It doesn't make any sense. How do Tosfos know that you use a Rove to Paskin a Shail in the Fashos? So that's the Gemara in the beginning of the 8th Perech of Masechet Sanhedrin. The Gemara has three different scenarios about what a possible application of that principle is. We're only going to take one of them. I'm going to try to say the easiest one. The other two, each one would take us a whole shir, with the Ben Saramor, with the Rove, with the Shail. Take us 20 minutes to give the case, so we'll leave it. So I'm going to take the one that only takes us 10 minutes to give the case. So comes the Gemara, 3 minutes to give the case, comes the Gemara and says, a possible application, you can Paskin a Shail in the moment is based on a Rove, is as follows. You have a girl, we know that the halacha is a little girl under the age of 12 and a half, so the father, technically speaking, can be mekabel kedushit on her behalf. So in theory, you can have a woman, a girl, she's an eishes ish, she's 5 years old, and in theory she could be an eishes ish, there Isa. So comes the Gemara and says, what would the halacha be if somebody would be mezana with this girl? So they would be chayav misa. She's not chayav misa, she's not a basonshin, so she's 12 years old. But if a gadol, someone over the age of bar mitzvah, would be mezana with this little girl, so he would be violating losinah, he'd be chayav misa's face, like any other, she's a full-fledged eishes ish min haTorah. Sometimes there's a principle of Kedusha Ketana Derabbanan. Let's say the father's not alive, so then the mother, the brothers, that's a Din Derabbanan. But if the father's around, that's a Din Derais. That's the sugi is the beginning of the third Pech of Kedusha, that the father is Zaka B'Kedusha when she's a Ketana and even when she's a Na'ara. So comes the Gemara and quotes a Mishnah that says that if this little girl, this 10-year-old girl is Mazana with somebody, so the man, the boy, is over by mitzvah, is Chayav Misa. That's the Gemara. How can you say that he's Chayav Misa? Maybe this little girl is going to be an islandess. We spoke about this in an earlier sugya. An islandess means when you have a girl, when she gets older, she doesn't mature properly. Her body is not formed properly, that she can never have a child. Not because she has some kind of a hormonal issue. She has physical, anatomically, it's just not developed properly. She never develops the simonim of any form of being a woman. And obviously she's not going to be able to have any children. The Gemara says that if you have a woman who's an islandess, it's a kiddushei tos. A person marries someone, let's say a woman's 25 years old, he thinks that she's normal, he marries and then he realizes she's an islandess. The Gemara says, that's a mekach tos. He said, a regular person wouldn't want to marry such a woman. That goes back, like we spoke about before, when you have a mekach tos, if there's something which is a very big deficiency in the item, so that will throw into question whether the whole kinyan was a valid kinyan or not. If it's something very technical, something very tangential, the person gets married to a woman, he thought that, I don't know, he didn't look careful, he thought she had brown eyes, and then it turns out she has blue eyes. So most normal people, are not, whether it's on the shidduch resume or not before, it's a different story, but most people wouldn't say that as a mekach tos. I would never marry such a person if they have the wrong color eyes. So that's not called a mekach tos. But if a person says, listen, I wanted to marry a woman who could have children, now she not only can she not have children, she's not even a regular female. So she's an islandess. So that's considered to be a mekach tos. Gemara says that you can only know whether someone's going to be an islandess when they get older. When they're, I mean, maybe today, maybe medically you can figure it out today. But in the olden days, the only way to figure it out is when she turns 12. She's 12, 13, 14, she's not developing properly. And then you realize that there's something fundamentally wrong here. But when she's 5 years old, you can't tell whether she's an islandess or not. So the person marries this little 5-year-old girl, gives money to the father, the kaddish, this little girl. He's thinking that she's not an islandess. And then when she turns 15, all of a sudden they realize that she is an islandess. It's a mekach tos, it's a kiddushin tos. Comes the Gemara and says, how can we put to death the person who is Mazana with this little 5-year-old girl? He said, because she's an Eishes Ish. What do you mean she's an Eishes Ish? Who says she's an Eishes Ish? Maybe she's an islandess. So if she's an islandess, it turns out the Kedusha was never Tosin. If the Kedusha was never Tosin, she wasn't an Eishes Ish. So the Gemara says, how could the Mishnah say that you killed somebody because they were Mazana with this girl? How do you know? Maybe it was Kedusha Tos. So comes the Gemara and says, nah, come on, it's a rove. How many girls are islandesses in the whole world? One out of 100,000 girls are islandesses in the whole world. So to say that this was the case of a megathos is so unlikely, and therefore, you could put the person to death, you don't have to worry about it, you don't have to be choshish that this girl was an islandess. We can assume, based on rove, that the kedushin was a valid kedushin. So Ad Kan Devarei Gemara. So the Gemara discusses, is it a good riot, not a good riot? Maybe he was makabel, made it tonight. Those are details in the sugya, but fundamentally the Gemara concludes that based on the principle of Rove, we would be able to kill somebody, Rove, Noshmanat, out of this. So comes Tosfos in the beginning of a second Sanhedrin and says, wait a second. He said, you follow Rove. When do we follow Rove? Rove only works in Issa v'Heder. Rove doesn't work in Dinim Hamidus. I can't take away a guy's shirt based on Rove. I can take away a guy's life based on Rove. So Tosfos said, it doesn't make any sense. How can there be a principle of following Rov and didn't nefash us, yet Shmuel still says that Ein Ocham Mamnach HaRov. Doesn't make any sense. So Mitachavir HaKushya, the question is so powerful that Tosis makes a startling statement. Tosis says that you thought that Shmuel said Ein Ocham Mamnach HaRov. That's what you thought. That's not really what Shmuel said. What Shmuel said was that the Rovs that we were talking about, those two examples of Rovs, Bava Kama and Bava Basra, Rove people buy a barrel, not a pitcher, and rove people buy animals to work and not for shechita. Those kinds of roves, those roves are not acceptable roves. Shmuel never said that you never follow rove. Shmuel said some roves you don't follow. Some roves are considered to be good roves. Some roves are considered to be not such good roves. So those roves which are very good roves, those roves will work even in the Nimamidus. Those roves which are rove garua, like those two roves, the shvacha roves of Bavakam and Bavabasa, those roves. And those kinds of roves are not acceptable roves. Ad kan divrei ha-Tosfos. So, of course, the Tosfos gave us an answer, but it didn't explain to us. But how would anybody in their right mind know whether something is a good rove or a bad rove? No, Tosfos never told you what the secret is. So the Sheir Shmaitz explains what Tosfos means is as follows. That we already spoke about this in the past. There are different kinds of roves. There are Reuben the Isikamans, Reuben the Leisikamans. Some roves, the facts are in front of us on the ground. Some roves are based on statistical studies. But then there's a third kind of a rove. Says the Sheir Shmaitz, sometimes you have a rove that's based on a Rambanim, a Sefer Kedusha. It's called a rove atoli b'das b'nei adam. It's a rove because that's what most people like to do. What most people in this culture, in this society, most people act in the following way. It's not objectively a rove. It's not a natural phenomenon that it's a rove. Let's say if you have a rove that most women give birth to 9 months. So that's a rove in the Gemara. That's a natural statement. That's a statement of biology. That rove is true. Whether you live in New York, you live in New Jersey, you live in Australia, wherever you want, that's a biological truth that a Kadosh Baruch Hu built into the world. That's a rove. Or you have, let's say, rove animals are not treifus. We know that no matter where you are, most animals don't have walking around with holes in their hearts and their lungs and their brain. You have a few. It's okay. So in some places, maybe the number of treifus will be a little higher than others, but it's never going to be more than 50%. Most animals are not dropping dead all the time. So most animals are not treifus. That's a universal rove. That's a rove that's totally beteva. Then you have other kinds of watered-down roves, as the Rabban explains in the condition. It's a rove. Why? Because most people in Bergen County think in the following way. So most people call barrels barrels. Most people buy oxen for work, not for shechita. That may be true here. Maybe it's not true. Maybe in Montana it's different. Maybe the other way around. Montana, most people buy oxen to work with. Most people in Teaneck buy it for meat. So there are different realities on the ground depending on the das b'nei adam. So comes the Ramban and the Sheir Shmaitz, the following student, says, whenever you have a rove, that's a rove, a toli b'das b'nei adam, it's already a yellow flag down on that rove. He said, it's toli b'das b'nei adam, but it can change. It could be a rove today, it's not going to be a rove tomorrow. In 50 years from now, so people's way of describing barrels and pitches are going to change. In 50 years from now, people are going to move out to the farms again. So the rove, in terms of the shechita, is going to change also. So those kinds of roves are flimsy roves. Those roves are not sufficient to be b'etzi mamun. That's what the Gemara means when it says that you can't be b'etzi mamun based on a rove garua. That's what Tosfos meant to rove garua. The only two cases in all Shas of Ein Hochem Mamnach HaRov, and they happen to both be examples of these kinds of roves, which are, what do most people call barrels? What do most people sell oxen for? Those roves are rove garuas, those are rove atolid b'das b'nei adam, and therefore those roves don't suffice. But a real rove, islandist, that's a biological rove, that's never going to change. The Rosh built to the Teva Dvar, that most women are normal, most women are not an islandist. So that's a rove that's universal. That kind of a rove can, not only is it good in Dina Mominus, it's good in Dina Fashas also. You can kill people based on rove as well. So what the Sheir Shmaitz just did was, they took basically the whole teeth out of Ein Hochem Mamnach HaRov. We started off with the Shia by saying, Ein Hochem Mamnach HaRov, it can never ever be Metzi Mamon based in Rov. It's a Pusuk, it's a Gzeres HaKosav, it's a Drosh, it's a Din Diraisa, Ein Hochem Mamnach HaRov. And Tosfos said, nah, it didn't really mean that. It can be Metzi Mamon based in Rov, as long as you have a good Rov. If you have a Shvach HaRov, then it won't work, but a real good Rov is going to work. So this Tosfos is a tremendous Chiddush, because this Tosfos doesn't seem to be fitting into anything that we've been saying. We started off by saying, Ein Hochem Mamnach HaRov, it's a Diraisa, it's based on don't ask any questions, no shaylos, no sfeigos, no exceptions. Ein hokum mamnach harov. By mamnis hamotz bechamei olavaraya. So we are disturbed with Tosfos chiluk. We're not so convinced that Tosfos chiluk is right. That yes, some roves, yes, some roves, no. Just have to figure out whether it's a good rove or not. No, we think that ein hokum mamnach harov means what it says.
Shmuel said it. Shmuel says, Ki az lidin basa ruba bi isura of mamona hamotzei chayla v'raya. Shmuel didn't say some robes yeah and some robes no. Shmuel said, Pembole, ein holcha mamach harob. End of discussion. So the Chorah, the Tais is a tremendous chiddush. So can we come up with another beer? So the Sheish Maitza suggests a different beer legamer. His own beer. He gave ample time to first he explained Tais's beer, and then he says, he doesn't think Tais is right. He's going to give what he thinks is the Emes of beer. Why is it that on the one hand, Ein Hokam Mamnach HaRov Legamre, and yet we find that Rov works even from Nefashas? So says the Sheish Maitza, it's based on a statement of the Rambam. Hopefully we're going to talk about this Rambam much more Berichas in Shirim down the line. The Rambam says, we know you can't kill somebody based on Eid Echad, you can't give a person Malchus, give a Mitzvah. Eid Echad is basically meaningless. For Onesh Haguf, for sure it's meaningless. You can't kill, you can't give Malchus based on an Eid Echad. But says the Rambam, what would the halacha be as follows? I have a piece of meat sitting in Beis Din, and Beis Din has no idea this is kosher as a treif. We have no clue what it is. Comes in Eid Echad and says this is Chazer. He identifies it as non-kosher meat. So we have a rule, Erechen and Bisurin. And Erechen is belief to say the meat is kosher, is belief to say the meat is treif, Erechen and Bisurin. Now, 3 days later, somebody comes and eats this piece of meat. Two Eidim saw him eat the piece of meat, they gave him Masra. Now the Shali comes, should we give the person Malchus or not? So the Rabbi says, absolutely, the guy is Chayav Malchus. What is he Chayav Malchus? How can you give him Malchus? You only know that the meat is treif based on an Eid Echad. So how can you give a person Malchus based on an Eid Echad? So comes the Rambam and says, no, that's not called Eid Echad. That's what's called a new principle. Isser Atzmo Eid Echad Yuchzah, says the Rambam. Eid Echad can establish the facts on the ground. Eid Echad can tell us what the preceding facts are. Is the meat treif or is it kosher? That Eid Echad is kerech du, Eid Echad Nambisurin. Shnayim Eidim have to tell us that the Ma'aseh Aveirah took place. Shnayim Eidim have to tell us that Reuven ate that piece of meat. If an Eid Echad comes and says they saw Reuven swallow the meat, that's meaningless. That's Afi Shnayim Eidim, not Eid Echad. But to establish the preconditions, to establish the facts on the ground before the Aveirah actually takes place, Eid Echad Nebisur. This is Eid Echad Yuchzah. Famous sheet, this is around in Uchas Sanhedrin. So comes the Sheish Maitz and says that's the same story. It's going on in Dina Momnus as well. You can't be Meitzi Mammon based on anything short of two Eidim. What does that mean? It means the point of being Meitzi Mammon. You want to know, did Reuven break Shimon's window? That's the only thing you want to know. Did Reuven break Shimon's window? That's the question. Did Reuven break Shimon's window or not? Did Reuven sell Shimon an ox for work? Or did he sell him an ox for Shechita? Did Reuven sell him a barrel? Did he sell him a pitcher? Whatever the Nekudas HaSafek of the Din Torah is, you have to be Mevar that Safek based on Shnei Eidim. Rove is meaningless. But what if we're not paskening on the facts right now? We're not paskening on the Maisa right now. We're paskening on information that we have to collect prior to the actual case itself. So there, I feel like anything, whatever works, works. You want to base your facts based on Rove? So Rove is also good. Says the Sheish Maitza, what was the case in Masechah Sanhedrin? The case was, we want to know, is this girl an Eishes Ish or not? So we have to figure out, is she an Eishes Ish? So the answer is, well, if she's an island, she's not an Eishes Ish. If she's not an island, then she is an Eishes Ish. Those are preceding facts. That's not the question of Znus. The Znus was 6 years later, there was an act of Znus. The act of Znus, of course, has two Eidim on it. Of course, there are two Eidim telling us that the woman was Mazana. We can't say she was Mazana based on Rove. We need a Pishnai Eidim to identify that it was a Maisa Znus. But we're not using Rove to identify was there an act of Znus. We're using Rove to identify, was she an Eishes Ish in the first place? Was this a Kedusha Tos? Was it not a Kedusha Tos? So we're going to follow Rove. The Rove is that it probably was not a Kedusha Tos, because most women in the world are not islandess. That's preceding facts. When you're collecting the data before the case, when all you're doing is being revired, what the facts are prior to the Din Torah itself, Isra'atzu be'erechen yuchsuch. So the corollary of Isra'atzu be'erechen yuchsuch is Isra'atzu be'roiv yuchsuch as well. So comes the Sheshmaitz and says, that wasn't a problem. And if you look at all the other cases that we didn't give, the two other complicated cases in Sanhedrin, they're all the same pismut, the same story. We're not being done on the case itself. We're being done on the pre-case. We're being done on the information before the case. Anything before the case, then you follow Rome. That was never Shmuel's Chiddush. Shmuel's Chiddush was a Pishnayim Eidim Yochum Dover. That means that the Makami Dover, that means the Dover itself, the act of Znus, the act of breaking the window, the act of selling the barrel, you have to have two Eidim. You cannot use Rove on anything that relates to the case proper. Anything that's preceding information that we should have gleaned 6 months ago, Then you follow the kol din of Torah, you follow the din of Rov. And that's a din d'araisa, that's true by din of Mafashas, and it's true by din of Mamanas as well. So the din d'araisa of Enoch Mamanach Rov stands against the Pribah Gadim. It's a din d'araisa based on Afish Naimedim, based on Mibad Vamiga Shalem. It's a real bona fide din d'araisa. The only exception to the rule is, according to Tosis, every good Rov is an exception to the rule, but according to Sheh Shmaitz's Bia, the only exception to the rule, at least at this point, is pre-information, prior to the case itself, then we can begin to negotiate that maybe I'll be Rov. Hopefully, so next week, we'll have to take this principle and open up the Rov and see, are there any other exceptions? Are there any cases in the Gemara itself, where the Gemara itself seems to overlook this principle of Enoch and Rov, and have to understand what some of the possible exceptions are all about.